A 16-year-old boy had just earned his driving license, and he asked his father, who was a minister, poor boy, if they could discuss the use of the car. His father took him to his study and said to him, "I'll make a deal with you. You bring your grades up, you study your Bible a little, and get your hair cut, and we'll talk about it." After about a month, the boy came back and again asked his father if they could discuss the use of the car. They again went to the father's study, where his father said, "Son, I am so proud of you. You've brought your grades up, you studied your Bible a little bit, but you didn't get your hair cut." The young man waited for a moment and replied, "You know, Dad, I've been doing some thinking of my own. You know, I was reading the Bible, and you know, Samson had long hair, Moses had long hair, Noah had long hair, and even Jesus had long hair." To which his father replied, "Yep, you're right. And they also walked wherever they went." Today is Father's Day, a day set aside to recognize good fathers who have been kind and loving and supportive of their children. But it can also be a very emotional and difficult day. It can be difficult for those whose fathers are no longer with us, who have died, and there is sadness of losing someone in our lives who was a good man, who was a precious influence and loving support. For others, Father's Day can be difficult because perhaps you didn't have a father, or you didn't have a very good one, and so you grieve for what you didn't have. And it is a day that evokes painful memories of what wasn't or never will be. For others, Father's Day is something to be endured because you always wanted to be a dad and you never had that opportunity and experience. Or perhaps you are a dad who has suffered the loss of a child, and so you feel the deep pain that comes in being a father. Or perhaps you are a father who is worried for your children right now, and there is a strain on your heart for your child. Or for others, perhaps you strive to be a really good dad, but still your relationship with your children is now strained, and the calls or the cards don't come today. And that's painful, because you tried to be the very best dad you could, but for whatever reason, relationships are difficult, and you aren't sure how to reconcile or reconnect or make things different. So Father's Day, like Mother's Day, can be a day of conflicted emotions, a day of sweet sorrows. And so what I would like to do today in the midst of all those conflicted emotions of this Father's Day is to draw attention to the fact that whether we have been a good father or not, or whether we had a good father or not, or whether we are a father or not, that all of us are loved by the loving one that first fathered each of our souls. And that our task on this planet is something very basic and very simple, although not easy. And that is to learn to love as extravagantly, as generously, as patiently, as God loves and waits for us. And so we look to our scripture today, which reminds us how we are to follow the example of the God that Jesus revealed to us in his answer to his disciples' questions about greatness. Today, Jesus makes it clear, greatness is not about how much money we make or how much education we have or how successful we may think we are. According to Jesus, greatness in the kingdom of God is measured by something completely contrary to how the world measures greatness. Apparently, once again, the disciples are confused about this new kingdom that Jesus is talking about, this new way of being. And they want to know what their title, their status, is in God's new world. And they discover that greatness is not measured by status or position. It's not measured by money or how much we make of it. But it's measured by a completely different set of values. It's measured by how humble or how human, how real and authentic we are. It's measured by how hospitable and welcoming and open and receiving we are. And it's about how much compassion we have for the little ones, the ones that feel a little lost. You see, Jesus is completely overturning the image of God the Father as a distant authority, punitive figure, indifferent to the pain of human existence, and judging us for every move we make, and is presenting a wildly different understanding of God as one who is deeply concerned for the most vulnerable among us. As Jesus points out to the disciples, it is not the will of God the Father that any child should feel lost. In other words, this image of a punitive, bookkeeping, judgy God is not Jesus' understanding of the spirit of love that moves throughout the universe. This is a radically new understanding of our Creator. And it's still a radical understanding of the Creator, and some churches still haven't caught up with Jesus' understanding of what the Creator is really like. And Jesus tells his disciples that every child, which by the way is all of us, has an angel in heaven who watches over us throughout our lives. And especially when we are in trouble, when we are feeling lost, our angels root for us, and heaven rejoices when we are found. That it is God's great joy and delight for all God's children to be loved and cared for, not lost along the way. This passage reminded me of a time when I went to a class in New York City, and it was conducted by a British medium by the name of Rosemary Altea. And in a time between 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, there were 400 people in this room, and she shared with us messages from the other side. And she shared with us a story, and she said, you know, I never used to believe in angels. I thought that was just something we manufactured, created, because we needed to feel like someone was watching over us. She said, and I have a lot of people who try to connect with me and ask me to connect with their loved ones on the other side. And one day I received a letter. This is back in the days of letters, no emails yet. I received a letter from a woman who said, I want to know the name of my guardian angel. That's what I want my reading for. And she said, secretly I rolled my eyes and thought, fine, I'm not in control of who's going to show up in a reading. So she said, the woman met with me, came to my home. She said that she wanted to meet her guardian angel. I'm rolling my eyes, not in front of her, but sort of behind her back. And she said, and lo and behold, a spirit of a woman shows up with giant white wings. She said, I communicated with her telepathically, and I'm going, really? Wings? And she said to me, oh, I know, but that's kind of what they expect. They expect us to show up with wings, so I'm appearing as they expect. She said, well, my client wants to know your name. And she said, I am so thrilled. She said, I'm so thrilled that she asked for me. I'm so thrilled that she actually acknowledges my existence. She said, because you all have guardian angels, but you never call on us. We're busily working on your behalf, trying to guide you, whispering to you on the right direction you need to go, giving you insight and help and wisdom, but most of the time you ignore us completely. I'm thrilled that this woman has asked for me. Please tell her. Her guardian angel's name is Mary. And she said, please tell her to keep asking for my help, because I'm there. I think it's a very reassuring thing to realize that each of us indeed has a guardian angel who watches over us, who encourages us, who tries to guide us if we will let them, and will be the first one to welcome us when we cross over to the other side. Perhaps these angels cannot always protect our bodies because we live in a physical world, a world of matter, in which spirit cannot intervene. Because they cannot interfere with our choices or decisions. And they cannot always protect our bodies from those who would do us harm, even if that someone might be ourselves. But still they are there to guide our souls and try to keep us on a good and noble path. In our passage today, Jesus reveals to his disciples that our God listens to our angels. Our God is not obsessed with right and wrong, but is a God who has deep concern for those who are lost. A God not concerned with wealth and power, but with gentleness and humility and vulnerability. A God not concerned with rejection and judgment, but a God who seeks to welcome and accept and receive us no matter what. And so from Jesus we discover that the nature of God is the nature of a warm and tender Father God toward his children. And this is what Jesus describes to us in this passage today when he reminds each of us that we are to welcome children, little ones and big ones, and lost ones, as God welcomes the child, the vulnerable, the lost. And in fact, we're not only to welcome, but as Jesus says, we are to be like a good shepherd, the one who goes after those who are feeling lost. What happened to my... That yellow card that all of us got in the mail in Parksville, did you get it? That yellow card that is encouraging us to defeat the supportive housing in our community. I read this passage and I think they're the little ones. They're the lost ones. There's many ways of being lost. Sometimes we're lost in a world of addiction. Sometimes we're lost in a world of confusing mental health. Sometimes we're lost to a world of depression and anxiety. Sometimes we're lost to a life of self-destructive choices. Sometimes we're lost to a world of power and self-centeredness and self-importance. And sometimes we're lost because we've lost our sense of purpose and meaning in life. There are many ways to be lost. Because to be lost means to have lost our true selves and our sense of direction and purpose. To forget that we are wonderfully made and deeply loved. And we lose our way. Sometimes you and I get lost along the way. Sometimes we've missed a turn here or there or taken a detour, made some mistakes, and become lost. But Jesus reminds us that the Creator's will towards us is always for our highest good, that the Creator wants the very best for us, and that heaven is always cheering us on from the highest bleachers with the best vantage point possible. And so for those of you who are concerned for your own children, or for your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, or for those who are concerned for your own feeling of feeling lost, Jesus reminds us today that none of us are ever alone, even though we might feel like it, that there is a God who passionately and fiercely loves us. Today, Dana was baptized, and today we recognize that she is not only a child of her human parents, but she is first and foremost a child of heaven. And so I'd like to read a letter that I wrote to Dana today. And I'd invite all of us to sign it, if you want to, as you leave today. Dear Dana, today over 100 people gathered at Knox to celebrate your baptism, along with your dad, Jeff, and your grandparents, Vic and Elise and Barbara, and your brother, Gavin. We hope you will always remember your baptism as a special celebration. Baptism is a time in the church when we recognize that you are not only a child born to Jeff and Carmel, but that you are a child of a loving God who created your beautiful soul. And today, your dad and grandparents and family made promises to guide you in the ways of love. As you already know, Dana, life on planet Earth is not always easy. People in our lives can sometimes make mistakes, and sometimes we make mistakes, and sad things can happen to us and to people that we love. But Jesus, who was a messenger from God, reminds us that no matter what sad things happen to us in our lives, the God of love, whose spirit moves like the wind throughout the world, is for you. We are never alone, for God has sent an angel to each of us at our birth to watch over us and to guide us, so that we know we are deeply loved and cared for and always softly held and rocked in the love of God. And remember that every time in your life that you do something good to help someone, especially someone who is lost, there is great rejoicing in heaven. And we also want you to know something else. Today, as you were baptized, everyone in your church family promised to help you in your life. So now you are part of an even bigger family than the one you were born into. So have faith, little one, in the God who created the beautiful soul that you are. And enjoy this earth school. And remember to do the very best you can to learn how to love as God loves. Through his stories and his life, Jesus shows us the best way to live a life on planet Earth. A life lived with courage, honesty, wisdom, and love. That's what we are all trying our very best to do here. So please know that God and the angels, your family, and your Knox church family are cheering you on. Welcome, little one. Love Knox United, your church family. On this Father's Day, if you and I want to truly understand what Jesus was talking about, what God's love really looks like, what a good father's love looks like, we can see God's love in action through the dedication of a father I'd like you to meet. Maybe you've already met him. Rick Hoyt was born with cerebral palsy, and his parents were told to put him into an institution. But they refused to put Rick in an institution. And even though Rick was never able to talk, he was given a communication tool that enabled him to communicate to his parents. And one day, he wrote to his father if he would help him to run a race, even though he was confined to a wheelchair. And then he asked his father if he would help him to take part in a triathlon. They went on to run 30 Boston marathons. Dick and Rick Hoyt have now both passed, but they are memorialized in a bronze statue in Boston, since they ran 30 marathons there. So I'd like to introduce you to the story of a father's love. Please know today and every day, God the Father loves you like that.